to the heartbeat drum, heartbeat drum, hey ah, hey ah, oh. Long summer nights, falling in love. Don't ever wanna part, no, never wanna say goodbye.
Like today, bright and shining, soca glory. Everyone with a flag and a smile on their face. Lordy daddy, of every creed and race, Lord. Phenomenal, lovely atmosphere. If the Lord is our shepherd, who shall be here?
No one.
Yes, the party
start down here at CKUW 95.9 FM on your dial in Winnipeg. This is Fantastic Friday with Ross Rico, I, Prince of Warner, Princess Chim Sulam, Queen Victoria, Dr. T and John, who's here but never here. Sometimes here is Princess Rachel, but always here is Princess Catherine to make sure we come up loud and clear without any fear. The bouncing start. We're going right up until 8 a.m. this morning. Hold tight with me. You're getting it right. Edutainment.
Friday. Please come and join us every single Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday morning.
Palestine, Palestine, President Biden's formally apologized for government-run Native American boarding schools, which separated indigenous families and sought to exterminate indigenous culture. He's the first U.S. president to ever do so. Biden issued the apology Friday while visiting the Gila River Indian community in Arizona, where Democrats are vying for the support of Native communities, a crucial voting bloc that could swing the results of next week's election. This was Biden's first diplomatic visit to a tribal nation in his four-year term. He spoke for a few seconds before he was interrupted by an indigenous protester.
The federal Indian boarding school policy, the pain it has caused, will always be a significant mark of shame, a blot on American history. For too long, this all happened with virtually no public attention, not written about in our history books.
No, what about the people in Gaza?
Not taught in our schools. Letter talk. Let her go. There's a lot of innocent people being killed. And it has to stop.
The U.S. government operated hundreds of boarding schools from 1819 to 1969, where children reported horrific physical, sexual, and psychological abuse. An Interior Department investigation this year found nearly 1,000 indigenous children died while at these schools. Biden was joined Friday by Interior Secretary Deb Haaland, the first ever Native American cabinet secretary member of the Pueblo of Laguna, whose grandparents were forced to attend boarding schools.
Tens of thousands of indigenous children as young as 4 years old were taken from their families and communities and forced into boarding schools run by the U.S. government and religious institutions. These federal Indian boarding schools have impacted every indigenous person I know. Some are survivors, some are descendants, but we all carry the trauma that these policies and these places inflicted.
Hey everyone, I'm Jess Turner. Make sure you listen to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning, 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. That's way too early for me. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Songs of Carmen Jones, part of the struggle of Black people in the United States to rise
Thanks
up
a lot. I'm so glad
and
to
avoid
be,
being thumbed
to be
down
where I can see
or even
so
exterminated. And we can look at all the practices, whether in North America, whether in India, whether in Africa, extermination of people. Don't you call that white supremacy? Stand up.
Only five on point, the rest was all KO. Jackson and Johnson, Mercy and Bronson, one by one they come and one by one to Dreamland they go. How's it done? You ask me how's it done? I got a trainer man who taught me all I know. Sure feels good to have him in my corner. Hear his voice a whispering low. Big boy, remember, you must remember. Stand up and fight until you hear the bell. Stand toe to toe, trade blow for blow. Punch until you make your punches tell. Show that crowd what you know. Until you hear that bell, that final bell. Stand up and fight like hell.
You heard him? He didn't sit to kneel down in front of the conqueror. We'll be right back.
الراد مصربة لمك يا جراحي وتدفقت منك الدماء وما لا في جنبي سلاحي أنا إن سقطت على التراب مصربة لمك يا جراحي وتدفقت منك الدماء وما لا في جنبي سلاحي وتخطفت جسد الطيور الحائمات على البطاح هذا طريقي في الكفاح فيا أخي فيا أخي أدمن كفاحي أنا إن سقطت على التراب مصرفلا بك يا جراحي وتدفقت منك الدماء وما لا في جنبي سلاحي أنا إن سقطت على التراب مصرفلا بك يا جراحي وتدفقت منك الدماء وما لا في جنبي سلاحي وتخطفت جسدي الطيور الحائمة
I'm Julian Cooper. You're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This is my favorite morning wake-up show.
Nothing I want more in this world than somebody who loves me naked. Someone who never asks for love but knows how to take it. Are you that somebody who sees a wall and breaks it? Are you ready to fight just to see what's lost behind my flaws? Can you love me naked? Yeah, 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 yeah. So catch me at nighttime. Some of my friends think I'm moody, but I think I'm just fine. I could be pissed, but I act like I'm not. I really remember when I say I forgot. No matter how hard I try to run away from love, at the end of the night I need somebody who loves me naked. Someone who never asks for love but knows how to take it. Are you that somebody who sees a wall and breaks it? Are you ready to fight just to see what's lost behind my flaws? Can you love me naked? Yeah, 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 naked. Yeah, 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 yeah. make it. I need someone who loves me when I wake up. Who thinks I'm beautiful when I'm looking fucked up.
Lady Mom.
She said, hello, hey Joe, you Lady wanna Mom. Give it a go? Oh, Gitchy, gitchy, yeah, yeah, zata. Gitchy, gitchy, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mocha chocolata, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Cream Lady Mom, my
I'm Dale Rufus, and you're listening to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9, my favorite Friday morning wake-up show.
This is for my city dwellers, my storytellers, my soundscapers, music makers, and my dreamers of dreams. This is for the beat layers, the street sayers, the graph writers, and the painters. This is for the crate keepers, the image freezers, the lens seekers, and the photogs. This is for the spinners, the rewinders, drop the needle, pull it back, and come againers. This is for the movers, the body users, the kinetic acrobatic defying gravity provers. This is for the filmmakers, the actors, the activators, my sculptors, and my cans. Sprayers. This is for the da-da-dubbers, the dancers, the scribers, the scholars. This is for the freestylers, my improvisers, my poetical, lyrical, spiritual vocalizers. This is for my speechifiers, for the visionaries, for the bridge builders, the chain breakers, the power takers. This is for the door crashers, my drum beaters, the call to action taker to the streeters. For my behind the sceners, my planners, my finders, our on task and right on timers. For our organizers, our survivors, our motivators, and our strivers. This is for the uplifters and uprisers. This is for you, our ancestors. This is for you, our people blessers, our children, for our vision, for our villages, our hoods, our nations, our truths. This is for our culture, for our generation. This is for our creator and our creation. This is for our inner being and our outer, for our say it louder, big and prouder. This is for the art, for the word. This is for the sound. This is for the power.
Big
fingers. I gave you ride or die, and you gave me games. Love figures. I know I'm crying, 'cause you just won't change. Love figures. I gave it all, and you gave me shit. Love figures. I could do exactly what you did. I wish I could hurt you back. Love, what would you do if you couldn't get me back? You're the one who's gonna lose something so special, something so real. Tell me, boy, how in the fuck would you feel if you couldn't?
So we pretty much peas in a pod. I was at the scene, had to flee from the cop. I go inside with no keys for the locks. Excuse me, madam, how did you get on the premises? Well, I came to kill off my nemesis, so I used my juju when I came up in the crevices. And bitches say they're bad, but I'm from where the fucking devil is. So if they get me mad, we're in the yard, disturbing residence. Then we leave out the yard, up in the car, dispose the evidence. Cause nobody bad like us.
Nobody bad like us.
But really, we don't want no fuck. Someone roll them blunt so we can turn shit up. Squally, let me see you brush your guns.
I'm rolling 10 gear up in that squad. That's what? That squad. I'm rolling 10 gear up in that squad. That's what?
I'm rolling 10 gal up in that squaddy. Came true with the clan, came true with the posse. I came with Mary Jane's, I'm came in it with Molly. Enough gal in it, that's the way you roll, squaddy. Enough gal in it, that's the way you roll out. If the line's good, you have to get your phone out.
Hi, I'm Colleen. Please listen to Fantastic Friday every Friday from 6 to 8 a.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Come join us.
Listen, black hair, the sirens. Gotta stop the gun violence. Gotta put down the gun. Had to bury her son. Lost another one. Praying to the priest. Running from police. Rest in peace. Those deceased lost their life to the streets. They locked up and shot up for moving that product. They remade Tulsadas. Grim Reaper waiting. No hesitating. Stop killing and hating in my generation. Lost some real ones and they ain't even deserve it. Don't lose your life cause it ain't even worth it. Life ain't perfect, but you gotta find your purpose. And it's not weak for you to put down that strap. Real men use they fists when they beat an attack. And that love for the stacks get you trapped in a trap. The heat from the beef, time to put down the gat. You can't love these streets cause they don't love you back.
Survival of the fittest, I've been staying vegan. So any drama, beef or chicken, you can keep it. Leave the fighting for the heads, entertainment for the feds. Cause if I kill you dead, how do I get ahead? And how your family getting bred? And I get sun seeing red. That anger inside him festers till he becomes an avenger. Stand up and shout, what? Man of the house, but he only 12. How he gon' help? Hits mama's shelf. No smoke got shells. There's nothing to eat, nothing to eat. Hit up the streets, hit up the streets. Shot down day 12, all cause he helped. Dang mama's shelf. Had to have them shells. So how your family getting bread? Cause it's something you said. See a circle, get out. Break walls, change routes. We out here losing dads. Need a change like damn. By any means necessary. Malcolm X, that's legendary.
Anything yeah. Shock out, get washed out. Watch out the kingdom out and the queen I come out. Patch out spread red carpet. One thing we have to tell on us. Watch out. Adam Ernst. Adam Ernst. Watch me now. It name murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Shuffle the deck me and the queen in a the park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the con so no better watch that. Show me step up in a life them want to give me a fight. Show me look cute and them no look too right. They call and need to over me man a fight. And that now one no time in a them life. Me no cut up I can model every time. Absolute niceness come with pair rhyme. First class dress code and your style a lick. The quality, my feet come back quick. Cause murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Truffle the date me and the queen in the park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the con so no better watch that.
Hi everyone, my name is Belaine Osman. I'm a student here at the U of W. My students actually call me Madame Oz. Just letting you know, CKUW has an awesome show called Fantastic Friday, and you guys should listen to it. Stay tuned.
A black woman or a black child. Know what I mean?
No mind your nationality. You have got the identity.
And perspicacity of an African. Don't fake it.
If you come from Clarendon,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Portland,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Westmoreland,
it really don't matter. Because coming to you all the way from West Africa, in a country called Nigeria, is your brother, they call Prince Ugona, to give you news and views from Africa and surrounding areas. Ugona.
Yes, good morning, West Africa. Good morning to all of our listeners. Uno, kedu, kekwana. Greetings from Africa. Our first piece comes from Democracy Now, where Dr. Mohamed Salhar from the Jabalaya refugee camp, who is the acting director of Al Awada Hospital, says Israeli soldiers have just conducted what Gaza's civil defense is calling a major massacre in Jabalaya, with more than 150 people killed or injured and dozens of buildings destroyed. It is the latest atrocity amid the military's weeks-long siege of northern Gaza.
Today is the 20 days of siege in northern Gaza.
and the fifth day of the siege out of the hospital, totally siege out of the hospital with a tank. So we camped month outside the hospital. And from the beginning of this siege, they are bombing our two inpatient departments and bombing our water tanks. So now we have more than 70% of the hospital without water because the tanks is destroyed, totally destroyed, the water tank. And also this afternoon, they are bombing our central store related to medical supplies. After 2 days, we will not have the fuel to run in the hospital. And we have a lot of patients inside the hospital. We have 43 of patients here. And we can't deal with this because every day we are doing to them operations and the treatment in the under GA inside our OT. And we need medication, medical supplies, and the fuel. And also food. We don't have food and we don't have healthy water and filtered water. Our message to the freedom people in the world, really to stop the genocide in Gaza Strip and especially in the north in Gaza. You can't imagine how is the situation here. The people are dying in the streets. They are injured in the streets and nobody can move to bring them. Now there is a massacre for more than 150. When you speak with me in Jabalia camp, but there is nobody can go there to serve these people. Really, we need also from WHO, UN agencies and our partner really to urgent appeal and urgent to come to the hospital to bring our needs from medication and medical supplies and especially from fuel, food and healthy water for patients here.
In the second piece, from the question now, Palestinian poet and author Musab Abu Toha discusses the situation in Gaza and his new book of poetry titled Forest of Noise. He fled Gaza in December after being detained by the Israeli military, but many of his extended family members were unable to escape.
Just you mentioned the airstrikes that took down 10 residential buildings. I was staying with that in that place with my wife and kids just before we had to leave for an UNRWA school to stay in a shelter there and before I was abducted by the Israeli army. And this morning I looked at the names of some of the people who were killed in that airstrike. And I see that, 19 names from the same family, including Imfathi Abu Rashid, a temporary neighbor. We had Imfathi as a neighbor for a few days before we had to leave the neighborhood. And now I read that this neighborhood, where I was staying with them, was bombed. So she was killed along with some of her children. And this is the case of so many people. I'm not sure if you can see this. This is the list of the whole family. And for example,
you're holding up a list of what, some 20 names?
Yeah, 20 names, including Imfathi, the grandmother, her children, and her grandchildren. And I look at the, for example, I read this every day. So there is Muhammad Salman, his brother Yusuf, Islam, Sama Aya. So five brothers. And then there is Mahmoud Fathi, the son of Fathi, Abu Rashid, and his wife and their children. So I've been seeing all this all the time. And by the way, we are focusing right now on North Gaza. Yesterday, late at night, Israel bombed intensely Khan Yunis. And I'm looking at some of the pictures here. These are the photos of the children who were killed yesterday. They just were able to withdraw the bodies of these children after the Israelis retreated from the area. So, that was today. I learned about this just half an hour ago. And then I went to the local news channel in my city, Beit Lahia, North Gaza, and I saw the picture of my neighbor, Ayman Abu Layla. This is his photo. He was killed this morning while he was trying to get some water from a tap in the street. Ayman, to honor his memory, he was the principal of the Oni Agricultural College in North Gaza. And he was trying, by the way, he lived just a few blocks away and he wanted to move to stay with his brother because there are some friends and some neighbors who are staying there. So he wanted to be close to the people who are there. But he was killed and his son, my wife just told me because she was on the phone with her mother and father who are trapped right now in Beit Lahia. They were told that the brother of my neighbor has been critically wounded and he is in the house. There is no way that an ambulance can come. There is no way that anyone can come to their rescue. And the same thing happened yesterday in the Jabalia refugee camp, the 10 residential buildings that were took down. the Israeli army has been, horribly attacking North Gaza, displacing people and kidnapping, abducting doctors and nurses and journalists and even the injured people. They had to evacuate. I mean, just imagine, people who have been injured and they had some medical care and they had to be on some medical equipment. They are taken away from the hospital. Some of them would die. And that's why the Lancet Journal said that more than 200,000 people have been have died or were killed by the Israeli airstrike, the Israeli military campaign since October 7th. So my wife's family, including her father, her mother, her siblings, and some of the nephews and nieces, her grandparents too, aged 75, they are now trapped in the family house, and they are unable to leave. And now the Ata Abu Layla, my neighbor, was killed just a few meters away from them by a piece of shrapnel from a tank shell. So she worries that if I'm away from her, and she gets some terrible news, like today's news, she would die from pain and grief. So she wanted me to be with her, and I told her I couldn't cancel, the event at the Brooklyn Public Library and also my event today at NYU. So I said, okay, you come with me, and now she came with me, as if this would. I don't say that I would make her feelings better, because I too have family in Bethlehem. I have a young sister with three children. The youngest is 2 years old. And I haven't talked to her for about 10 days. It's impossible to get in touch with my sister. I don't know how she's surviving or whether she's alive at this moment.
This next piece, we speak with Musab Nasser, CEO of Fajr Scientific, one of the six medical aid groups banned by Israel. He mentions how the Israeli government has banned six medical NGOs from entering Gaza despite the dire humanitarian crisis stemming from repeated displacements of the population, widespread diseases, injuries from Israeli attacks, hunger, and so much more.
Dr. Hassan Abu Safia is a Palestinian hero. He is an amazing, amazing doctor that I have known now maybe for about 4 years. I had several meetings with him when I was in Gaza in 2022 and helped, as I said, renovate the Kemal Adwan Hospital's emergency room and the external clinics, as well as the rehabilitation room for children. Dr. Hassam is the director of the Kemal Adwan Hospital, who, by the way, has a foreign passport. He had the choice, like many Palestinians, to leave at the beginning of the war, but he refused. And he stood his ground at the Kemal Adwan Hospital to save lives and save limbs and take care of those children who are left stranded in this carnage. Kemal Adwan Hospital is the only children's hospital in North Gaza. It actually serves about 400,000 or 500,000 people in North Gaza. And there's really no other children's hospital. It has the ICU. It has a large room for premature babies with incubators, and it's a central hospital. If that hospital is not functional, you're talking about thousands of children again left without any medical support. Fajr Scientific is a humanitarian apolitical organization. We are actually specialized in surgical. In complex surgeries. We've been operating in Gaza even before the war. We have a team in the north, a local team that actually serves the different hospitals, including the Indonesian hospital. And the news that we get from the team on the ground that Kemal Adwan Hospital was attacked by the Israeli army. I believe more than 30 medical staff members were actually kidnapped by the Israeli army. Including Dr. Hossam briefly, and then he was turned back. So he's left maybe with a couple of doctors and a few nurses to take care of over 150 patients at the hospital. The news that we received also that the Israeli army stripped those doctors naked and literally took them into no one knows where. similar to what happened to our colleagues at Nasser Hospital and Shifa Hospital. I still have many Palestinian colleagues, and I'd like to name a few. Dr. Ghassan Abu Zuhri from Nasser Hospital, who's one of the top surgeons in Gaza, orthopedic surgeons. No one knows his whereabouts until today. Dr. Hani Abu Taima, the head of the surgical department at Nasser Hospital, and many others across Gaza. So the disturbing news that we have received is that the Israeli army destroyed the oxygen concentrators and tanks at Kamal Adwan Hospital, leaving children in the ICU and in the incubators without oxygen. Many of them actually have died. In fact, I just came back from D.C. This past Thursday, where I met with, visited offices of a few congressmen and senators. And before I've also visited the State Department in this past visit, trying to advocate for lifting the ban or the denial on the humanitarian medical organizations that were actually denied entry by Israel, especially at this time, where we are actually needed on the ground the most. And that decision to ban or deny entry to six organizations. In fact, initially there was the initial number that we've heard was eight organizations. It's mind-boggling, especially with what's happening in North Gaza. Why would you prevent such organizations from coming to provide their services? Especially the healthcare infrastructure is destroyed. Many of the doctors, the local doctors, have been either killed or kidnapped. The patients are left stranded. No one is providing any help with them. And especially we in Fajr Scientific were actually specialized in surgical interventions. And many of the injuries that come to the hospitals across Gaza are blast injuries, broken bones, broken skulls, all kinds of multiple degrees of burns. So those patients require an immediate attention. And if you don't provide this attention to them, many of them actually will die a slow and painful death because of infections. Regarding Dr. Hussam's son, I really don't know the details surrounding his death, but I was told that he was, he was killed in an Israeli airstrike in Jabalia, as you mentioned.
For this next piece, we speak with Iranian-American policy analyst Trita Parsi about Israel's latest attack on Iran on Saturday, when it bombed military facilities and air defense systems in the country. Listen in.
What happened over the weekend is the expected Israeli response to the Iranian response to Israel's initial attack earlier on in April that started this whole exchange of fire between the two countries. What we don't know, at least with confidence, is exactly how much damage the Israelis managed to cause in Iran. Clearly, there's been some damage. There's been at least five deaths. But the extent to which Iran's air defenses have been taken out, et cetera, remains unclear. The Iranians initially played down the attack, signaled that they would not respond because it was not a significant attack. But the debate inside of Iran seems to be shifting on that issue precisely because of the deaths that has been caused by the Israelis. The question the Iranians have is not only what options do they have that would avoid further escalation, but also how would it impact the American elections? Are they better off responding before or after the Iranian elections? Is there a way for them to avoid responding at all? Or would a lack of a response only further increase Israel's appetite for striking Iran increasingly with impunity if the Iranians are not striking back? Well, it is exactly this type of approach that has led us to this level of escalation. On the one hand, saying that we don't want to see escalation. On the other hand, providing the Israelis with every equipment, every bomb, every piece of intelligence that allows them to escalate, then offering them protection against any Iranian retaliation, which then reduces the cost of escalation for the Israelis. And lo and behold, here we are. The Israelis are just continuously escalating the situation, striking striking more and more. They're now striking five or six countries in the Middle East. And all the United States says is that we would not like to see escalation, but we are providing every opportunity and every equipment and every logistical piece of material in order for the Israelis to have an easier time escalating the situation. The signals coming out of Israel, the signals coming out of those in Washington who want Israel to go further, is to essentially say, see, it was relatively easy to strike Iran. What are we waiting for? Let's go all the way. And moreover, as I said on this show before, just because the first response at this time now was not going after the nuclear sites, because we are on an escalatory cycle, does not then mean that we will not end up would strike against the nuclear sites in a full-scale war that that would prompt. So the point is, it's not where the first step is. It's where this is leading to that is important. And this, unfortunately, is leading, much thanks to the approach of the Biden administration, towards a much larger escalation.
This last piece also from Democracy Now. We speak with Niamh Gordon, Professor of International Law and Human Rights at Queen Mary University of London, one of the signatories of the open letter, who says international powers, including allies like the United States, need to put their leg down and say enough is enough.
There's a feeling among Israelis that the change cannot come from within. We do not have enough power from within to change the course of actions that Netanyahu and his government have put in place. And the only way to stop the violence, to stop the genocidal violence in Gaza, to stop the violence in Lebanon, and to stop future attacks and geopolitical war in the region is that leaders in Europe and leaders in North America, particularly the United States, put their leg down and say enough is enough, and threaten Israel that if there is no ceasefire, they will sanction Israel, they will stop arms trade with Israel, they'll stop sending Israel money, and ultimately stop trading with Israel. So our belief is, to save the populations that inhabit this region, we need such an action. The United States has a memorandum for arms trade, and in that memorandum for arms trade, it says very clearly that countries or warring parties that violate international humanitarian law and the laws of war, the U.S. will not sell weapons to them, will not give them weapons or sell weapons to them. It is beyond doubt that Israel has been systematically violating the laws of war since October 7th, 8th, and yet the United States continues to send arms, and that has to do with many reasons. One is what is the power of the military corporations in the United States. The other is the lobbying groups in the United States. And all the United States really has to do, all Kamala Harris has to do today, is say that the minute I'm president, if there is violation of international law, I will stop sending arms. And yet the United States is breaking its own laws in order to continue giving Israel arms so that it continues its violence in Gaza, Lebanon, and elsewhere. There's a major gap both in the United States but all across Europe and North America between civil society and the political and financial elites. The civil society has been saying now for over a year, enough, we want ceasefire, we're against this human catastrophe, we're against what Israel's doing to the Palestinian people, we want the Palestinian people to enjoy self-determination, to enjoy statehood like everyone else. And yet the political and financial elites are continuing as if nothing is happening, supporting Israel. Here and there, there's a kind of criticism from Biden. And yet Netanyahu is doing exactly as he wants to do. And the Biden administration is not doing anything. And there's fear from donors here during an election election campaign. It's a very complex system, but what we see is this major gap between the two kind of poles, the civil society pole on the one hand and the ruling political and financial elites. And I think we just need to continue doing what we do until we get them to follow their own laws as they appear, for example, in the Memorandum of Arms Trade. Well, I'd like to say a few words about the bigger picture. I think Netanyahu, pre-October 7th, 2023, saw himself as a figure of history, one that has led Israel to economic success, one that will normalize relations with Arab countries in the region, including Saudi Arabia, and one that has slowly managing to erase the Palestinians from history. Come October 7th and the failure of the Israeli intelligence, and after 35 weeks of the of protest against the judicial overhaul and the death of 1,200 Israelis and 250 Israeli hostages, he understood that his position in history has changed. And he's trying to rebuild that through, I think, three axes. One is the Gaza Strip, and I have very little belief in the current negotiations. I think large parts of his coalition want to resettle the northern Gaza Strip, and that's why we're seeing what we're seeing there and what your previous guest told us about, the kind of displacement of the population there, the destruction of the whole infrastructure of existence of the population through the destruction of the hospitals, of the schools, of the mosques, etc. And ultimately, what Netanyahu's coalition would like is to resettle that part of the Gaza Strip and close the rest of the Palestinians in the south and probably maintain some kind of ethnic policing there for years to come. In Lebanon, I think Netanyahu would like to cleanse the area that's south of the Litani River from any presence of Hezbollah, and I think that's going to last for quite a while now. I hope I'm wrong, but I think that it's not going to end soon. But I think that the crown of the jewel for Netanyahu, and the only way that he thinks of himself as returning to history as a hero, is through the bombing of the nuclear plants in Iran. I think everything is leading in that direction. Again, I hope I'm wrong, but I think now Netanyahu will wait for the elections on November 5th, and then he'll decide how to continue on that strategy. So I think the talks now in Doha are more of a cosmetic to a large process that we see unfolding now in Israel and the Middle East.
All right. I don't care if your nanny was black or you ate grits for breakfast every morning and you knew a girl in high school, a black girl, and she was nice. I don't care if your nanny was black because Michael Griffiths is dead. Killed by white youths who got off free, even though witnesses testified to their crime. So I don't care, you hear? I don't care because black woman Tawana Brawley was raped by four white cops who are still out on the street. And Donald Trump takes out a three-page ad in the New York Times calling for the death of six black youth accused of raping a white woman. So I don't care if your nanny was black and you ate grits for breakfast every morning and you knew a black girl in high school and she was nice. I don't care, you hear? I don't care, cause for too long we have held our pain in our very flesh. For too long our bleeding hearts in our chest. For too long our eyes have seen what they can no longer bear to see. Our anger will rise like a red flood and spread across this land. Tear down monuments built on our blood.
Okay. Good morning, Ibrahim.
Good morning, Mr. Rico.
Thanks again for coming on. What is your update at this time? Could you tell us?
Okay, I don't know, there is. Come on. The connection is not You heard me well? Hello?
I am hearing you clearly.
Oh, okay, but there is a sound, yes, making really very noisy. Anyhow, yeah. I'm going to say, yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. Yes, I'm going to just tell you what is going on in Sudan, and I appreciate you asking about the Sudan. Yeah, the same thing is still the same, but there is update. When you go back like 2-4 months, the war in Sudan was different stage. But now is a change that state, because when you see that in the long time ago, the occupationists occupied the machinery or the rabbit forces many areas of the Sudan, and that now is changed in the hand of the Sudanese army and also the original African aligned group enjoying with the Sudanese army together, being able to fight, and that fighting, the result came. Now is make a limited area, for example, like in the area of Khartoum as the capital of Sudan, and also in the middle of Sudan, that is a province, it's called what, Madani. And in the also in the middle of Sudan, that is a province called Sinar or Sinjar. In that area, that is a world being limited there. And these forces being able to destroy all the equipment of the rabbit forces and being able to divide them, and they just run in the area of the occupation they have been there. That giving the ability for the African troop and Sudanese army to being able to block the whole road and disconnect the rabbit forces in the different areas, and they not being able to support each other. And that is the situation in area of the Khartoum right now. But before that war is finished, they get the rabbit force chance, get chance in the area of a bunch of Madani. That is a rural area, is called and the rural area, yeah, they went there in the some areas and just they commit really very bad crime and almost genocide there. But the army right away and the African troop, they run there and just reform them and just change them.